No, you go. No, I'll go. No, you go.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going to go do it. And then I realized that you are who you are. And then when you said, I don't care, I was like, oh yeah, cause he's Trent. That's why.
Yeah. Well,
like, how dare I think you said you were going to lead this one out?
No, oh. No, I'm as useless on an intro as the 80 seconds airborne capability. Right. So there you go.
Jesus. Shout out. What's up, man? Defund the Weatherman is happening real quick. Welcome back, everybody, to the Ones Ready team room. We didn't notice you there. How are things going? We want to start off with gratitude as always. Please like, follow, hit that subscribe button, leave us a comment. Remember, that's free. It doesn't cost any of your time. You're probably on a toilet at one point. You don't need to do anything. It doesn't give you any extra notifications that you want, but just slide on over there and absolutely destroy that subscribe button. Just hit it so hard that the subscribe button's family is like, ow, that hurt. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? All right. So we're going to deep dive into this one. We were laughing as the team, like, hey, you know, it's been a while since we got together. What are we going to talk about? Just us, just the squad. And then we realized, we can tell you something. We can give you a checklist. We can give you a way forward that you can actually use to be the best possible candidate, the best possible cone. And then we're going to end off with a little something that you love. Like, what do we love about these jobs in the pipeline? So, man, be a good dude and just put out. That's everybody's advice that doesn't actually want to give advice. So when somebody goes to an operator and they're like, how do I be a PJ? They go, oh, well, you just got to be a good dude and you just got to put out and you'll get selected. Oh, yes, Trenton?
Is the word dude gender specific? No, I have really a theory is. About this. I think East Coast it is.
Peach is like, mm-mm.
But I think West Coast it is not. Everybody's right. Dude on the West Coast.
I call everybody dude. I even call Donna See? Dude.
I called it, yeah, bruh. This is going to be crazy, and I think we're probably going to hit this in one of these parts, but it's amazing that you can't just stand in front of a whole group of professionals and go, what's up, guys? And then have somebody go, whoa, we're not all guys. Okay, I got it. Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, but be a good dude and put out. What does that mean? So we're going to go from start to finish here to be a good dude. What are we talking about? Put out, we've already done it. We'll throw some other episodes in the cards of IFT and CFT. We're not going to talk numbers here. Like, we already have those episodes out there. So if you want to look and see exactly what we say when we, you know, hey, you got to put out physically in order to make it, we have episodes on grit and all that other stuff. We're going to take you back to person school, right? And we're going to start off with how to be a good dude. We're going to take it all the way from the baseline. Man, kids these days. Let me tell you, the three of us have some input. So there are generational differences, and we get that. We get that intimately because we, unlike a lot of our peer group, we engage with you guys and with guys and girls. It's like the default.
I'm canceling this episode.
That's it. Well, joke's on you. We haven't even started. I'm trying to get demonetized. So we talk to you guys every day. Like, we engage with y'all every day. We have hundreds of, at this point, thousands of DMs and hundreds of hours of content. We understand that there are cultural differences, right? But we got to help you bridge that gap. So number one, kids these days, salty rants that tick me off. You do not need to know every single piece of information that has ever existed to make a decision. You are not ever going to have every single piece of information. And what that makes us think is the only thing that you're doing by like going on every single chat board and going on every single post and be like, well, I mean, what is it like day to day? And I talked to an ex-PJ that said that they don't like where their career field's going, but they got out in 94 and they don't understand what's going on. Listen, the only thing you're doing is building excuses. That's all you're doing. You're getting to a place where you're like, well, I was totally going to be a PJ, but then I talked to an ex-Navy SEAL who said that PJs, you know, weren't the same career field as like 5 years ago. And then that really made me wonder about where I fit in. So I just decided not even to get workout one done. Like, you cannot decide to be a PJ from your phone, everybody. You have to go to A&S for that. You cannot decide to be a special operator from your couch or behind a computer screen. And that's a cultural difference. You know, when you look at when, you know, Trent and Peaches and I, when we got in, we had a trifold pamphlet and some recruiter that had no idea what those jobs were, and they didn't give a shit because at the time they were getting 1.5 credit to get one of us into the pipeline. Like, that was a true statement. So, you know, if they put a maintainer in, they got a little tick mark of one on their spreadsheet. But if they got a PJ to go in, they got 1.5, and that helped them meet their quota. So again, we're not saying like we are saying kids these days. But we are not the type of people that are like, well, I didn't have these things, so you shouldn't have these things either. but y'all got to meet us in the middle. Y'all got to stop coming up into my DMs and being like, well, I just did a lot of research into MARSOC. And from the research that I've done completely third handed, I think that I'm more of a fit for pararescue. Okay. I don't know what to tell you, but I will tell you that that's a cultural difference.
What? Yeah. Peaches, you go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go in.
I'm always stuck. Like part of me wants to go salty rant and yell at all the kids about why they're different than me and why that's incorrect, obviously, because I'm the pinnacle of all human achievement, you know, where I'm at, my generation.
Genetic superiority. Absolutely. Just from ground up.
If you don't do it the way that I did it, then you're a terrible human.
Obviously.
I think it's just a lack of experience. So like there are differences where they have, the current generation has the internet, right? Where they can research everything like ad nauseum. The problem is if they're still asking these questions, they've never taken research in any arena to application. Like if you research like one of those like mud run events or one of those other things and you think you know what it's going to be like, mm-hmm. and then you get out there and experience it and you do those types of things all the time. Like you can research a car all you want, but unless you drive it, you don't know, you know, like, and until you're like, your brain makes that connection between application and strictly academic knowledge, you don't understand that you can't know everything about something until you experience it. So I think that's one of those things when people say those, even like those, you know, that PJ that got out in 94 and is talking about it, they have no relevant experience in the now. So like they're going to say whatever their opinion is based on their past experience. And these folks out here trying to get as much information as possible are speaking from a place of no experience. Right.
Sure.
And it doesn't have to be this experience, just the academic to application, you know, getting to know that process over and over again will make you more comfortable doing it in the future.
Well, also, I think it's important to remember that we were all there at some point.
Yeah.
Like we were that dumb. You're not dumb, guys. I'm dumb.
I was a kid.
Yeah. I will say, though, that your frontal lobe was not fully developed and you are making stupid decisions just like I did. I made very stupid decisions. Thought I knew everything, even though I had, you know, parents, I had older friends, or I had, you know, people in the military telling me things throughout my time. And I still, some of them I grasped, some of them I didn't, and some of them I had to learn for myself. So that's first and foremost. Like that's just a reality of it. That's every single teenager that's out there.
Yeah. And let me pull the curtain back on why dudes get salty, right? You know why? It's because we see ourselves in you, but we see all the pitfalls that you could possibly be, like you could possibly hit as you get to our level. Like when I look at an 18, 19, 20 year old training to get in the pipeline, it's a mirror, but all I see is a lifetime of my worst go, like a lifetime of the worst things that I've done. Right. And I just like, I want to help you out. And sometimes people don't know how to package that. Like, you would love if everybody could be a coach and a guide and a mentor and a positive male role model. But sometimes they have to look at you and go, hey, idiot, don't do that because you're stupid. Because that's sometimes the most efficient way to get there. Like, I don't think you're a kid. I think you're an adult male, an American citizen that raised your right hand to support and defend the Constitution of the United States in a time of war. I respect you for that. But that doesn't mean you're still not a kid. That doesn't mean you're still making immature decisions. Just like we just said, your brain's not even fully formed till you're 25. So, you know, sometimes the most efficient way to get there is to go, hey, idiot, I've done this before. I've walked the path that you're just starting to walk on. Please don't do it like me. And it's hard to communicate that sometimes. And that's where that generational divide happens, where, you know, you hear some older dudes say it. They're like, I don't understand these young kids. No, that's exactly it. But at the same time, they see something that they're like, I want to help and I want to help you avoid these things, but you don't know how to bridge that gap.
Yeah, it's tough. It's difficult because you forget, or you either forget or you don't appreciate how you were then, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's just a reality because you're so far removed, and you're like, I wasn't that bad. But then, what's funny is, okay, watch one of our first podcasts, and we're talking, you know, almost 4 years ago, coming up on 4 years, and you're like, ooh, boy, that was really bad. And I'm not necessarily saying that these are good anyway, but
yeah, right.
But there has been some improvement,
right?
And so that's why I think that the whole kind of Team Sergeant role is so important, because that team sergeant can grab somebody by the collar and go, you are messing up right now. Now, I can't force you to, you know, not get a crazy, you know, auto loan.
Neck tattoo.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
those are allowed. 1 inch behind the ear now. What's up?
I can't do that. I can't tell you to break up with this girl or this dude or whatever, hey, right?
He loves cinnamon. Don't you say that. He loves cinnamon. She's going to change for him. She's going to be in medical school soon. And I swear, Peaches,
I promise you that stripper that you may be dating or that tech school person that you met is, you're lonely. Okay. It's your first time, probably your first time away from home. Basics not difficult, but you've essentially been getting, you know, no contact to the outside world. Maybe you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend before you left, or maybe you just met somebody, you're lonely. Yeah, okay. Of course somebody shows you some attention and you think, hey, this is it. This is what it is. 99% of the time, that is not true. So yeah. Don't make that mistake. And I think that role of that team sergeant is important to help guide those people. At the same time, though, people have got to make mistakes, and that's the only way they're going to learn.
Well, and maybe when we say it's a mistake, it's a mistake right now. And that person that you meet in tech school, like, I don't want to, like, you just don't understand, like, all the other doors that are going to open up to you later on, all the other opportunities. Like, you're on a very narrow path. Like, when you join the Air Force and you join BMT, like, we kind of, like, narrow everything down to a single path, right? And then you get to tech school and, like, maybe one or two paths open up. All we're saying is, like, be patient in most of those situations. Like, I don't know if you love that person or if they're a good person, but, like, what do you gain by shutting all your potential future doors today? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's this, like, cosmic meant to be type of love or whatever, it's going to work out eventually. Cosmic. Like, but if we don't get married right now, we don't get stationed in the same place. Cool. Like,
that's
figure
fine.
Out.
Yeah, that's Dude. Fine.
Imagine in an ever expanding huge universe that is throttling through at 700,000 miles an hour, whatever it is. Don't hit me in the comments, internet fucking scientist.
Dude, Neil deGrasse is so mad.
Neil, he's got a badass over here. Imagine thinking that in the small focus group that is America, and the even smaller focus group that's the Air Force, and the even smaller focus group that is your tech school. Imagine that you're like, nope, this is it. This is my soulmate. By probability alone, you should take a step back and go, hey, dog, maybe I should just focus on my job, right? Peaches, I love what you brought up about the team sergeant thing, but that's we talk about, you know, kind of how to be a good dude. Start with your circle, too. There should be somebody in your circle. I bet there's somebody in your circle with a little bit more life experience that's got a little bit more time under their belt. They're a little bit more disciplined than you. That person, you know, from both sides, you should be emulating that person in your friend group. And you should also, if you're that person in your friend group, you should be reaching down to those people and going, hey, man, you're kind of screwing this up. Like, it's cool that, you know, you and I have kind of the same goal. And I'm putting myself in the context of, you know, how do we build the best possible candidate from the ground floor? And I'm imagining this 18-year-old that thinks that they know they want to go into AFSPEC war, and they're starting to, they get on the Discord. So go check out the Discord channel, or, you know, they find us on Reddit, or, you know, they're using, you know, some of these other entities to, you know, you go to a GORUCK, or you go to a SOCOM athlete, or you go to one of these other programs, and you make these connections. Man, if you guys are getting together, you need to do that for each other first. We have all these questions about, oh, how do I build leadership? And how do I show the cadre that I'm a good team player? Well, you start with being a good team player. You look at your friends, and when they send you a text in the morning and they're like, hey, I'm going to cancel on today's workout, you send them a text back.
Oh, no, you're not.
No, you're not. You made a commitment to me. You told me that you were going to be there. That's a contract. You made a contract with me, and I expect you to fulfill your contract. So let's go, because they're going to help you out in the pipeline too. And you can be a good dude, and you can put out way earlier just by looking at each other and going, okay, We're gonna hit this pool session. It doesn't matter if it sucks. It doesn't matter if it's the worst pool session of your life. You never regret training. Like, that is not a thing. I was BSing with a dude in the gym the other day, and he was like, oh yeah, man, did not feel like getting here. To be honest with you, I just kind of went through the motions. I didn't kill myself. And he was like, but now I actually feel good, and anything is better than nothing. Like, discipline trumps motivation every single time. And you can start instilling those habits long before you even talk to a recruiter.
I also think it's important to kind of throw out the disclaimer that the whole good dude thing, right, is tough because there's so many aspects to it, but you can be a good dude and have imperfect characteristics or imperfect events in your life or something like that, that you have messed up on, you know. I always try and use the analogy like, hey, everybody's been out diving. We come back from a dive, diving on the boat. You got all those tanks and the BCs and all the equipment, you know, everybody's equipment bags. And, you know, the good dude puts team priorities first, which as in team equipment, washing off the boat before you're taking care of your own personal stuff. That doesn't mean that one or two times in my life, I haven't had a brain fart and grabbed my personal kit first, right?
Yep,
and just I know that off, that is such a low level example, but
that's the perfect example. Right, you get done with that long jump, like a water jump day.
You're tired.
People look at water jumps and they're like, "Oh my god, that is so cool." No, they are not. That is 8 hours worth of a workday for 30 seconds of fun. Like that's what that is.
Yeah. And it's you know, pulling the chutes out of the water and stuff like that is
bagging the chutes, hanging the chutes.
Shout out to the swims folks for helping us out and doing that kind of stuff. But there are going to be moments of clarity and moments of forgetfulness where you just, and also at the same time, not everybody is going to like you, right? I know.
I'm right here.
I know.
I can hear you.
I wasn't going to point it out, but not everybody's going to like you. And it also means that even your friends, like we do things, the three of us, where it's like, fuck, you know, like don't do that again. Or, hey, that really don't, you know what I'm saying? And that's fine because it doesn't make you a bad dude. It doesn't make you not a good dude. It just means that, hey, you're human and you mess up. So like, that's, I don't know where I'm going with that, but well,
being a good dude, like it's when we talk about leadership, right? Like what's the most important part of being a good leader is knowing who you are and being authentic to like your leadership style, right? The one that fits your personality and all these other things. Being a good dude is like self-leadership and knowing who you are and providing value to yourself and to your team in the way that makes sense with your personality, right? So like you might, like if you don't cuss or if you do cuss or whatever, all these other things, like if you're trying to emulate somebody else as like a good dude or whatever, and it doesn't fit with who you are, then what are you doing? Then you're just pretending,
right?
And don't be pretending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
people see right through that. If you're trying to be somebody, if you're trying to be somebody who you're not, you're trying to exaggerate the things that you have done, or you're trying to like, and I know this person and I know this person, or name drop, like it, some name dropping can be okay in context, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're saying, yeah, and then I've got this kind of car and I've got this and I've got this, but like, dude, I don't really care, man.
Yeah.
Like, stop trying so hard to be somebody who you want to be stop being somebody you're not or what
you're doing.
If you guys
great.
Can't tell, I can't tell. I had a very, very late night last night. no alcohol was involved with me, but like I had a very late night last night.
Shout out to Nate and Kate Gladden.
Yeah.
Straya for life. I think what we're getting at here is like, you know, during your career, you really are a conglomeration, or you're really a mosaic of the best leaders that you had. You know, Trent and I were laughing about, you know, stealing somebody's, you know, saying, like I steal all of Trent's sayings because he comes up with better sayings. But you do that throughout your entire career, and you take those pieces from each leader. You're like, oh wow, I really loved how they did this specific thing. And in the reverse, sometimes you have a bad leader and you're like, I never want to do that.
Yep.
Like that's almost as important. But you know, the point is, I'll tell this story and I won't use any names, but I was in the pipeline and there was a leader that I had, and we used to joke about how he had his serious voice. So he would just like be normally talking and like, you know, normal, like, you know, kind of laughing. And then like in front of the cadre, and when it was time for him to lead stuff, he'd be like, all right, gents, at 2:00 hours, we're like, dude, just talk. Like, you don't have to play a role, because when it's not authentic, like you're always going to have right pieces there. And parts. Like about 75% of the things that I say are plagiarized from every good leader that I've got in my life. You know what I mean? Like I very rarely haven't come up with anything new. If I did, I'd write a book and go consult for, you know, management firms and make $1 million. But That's not, I go have a TED talk. That's not the thing.
You mean you didn't do like ChatGPT?
I didn't. I wish I did. Dude, ChatGPT is terrifying. You want to talk about terrifying machine learning? If you guys want Skynet, that's how you get Skynet.
Well, just to put a bow on the whole who you have in your circle, you are who you surround yourself with, right? Mm-hmm. So surround yourself with people that are like-minded, want to get after. Doesn't have to be the same thing that you do, but like you mentioned with the gym and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Hey, you getting your workout in? Like, surround yourself with people that will call you out and hold you accountable on things and help set you in a right path and call you out on your BS and also give you a you know, positive mental attitude going forward.
Can't fly with the eagles if you're hanging out with turkeys. CZ said that.
Come on.
And you really are. You're essentially like the sum of the five, you know, people that you hang out with. And that's a true thing. So, all right. So there, we dove into it. Kids these days, you darn Gen Z kids on your phones all day. How to be a good dude. So now we're going to talk about how to be the optimal development candidate. How to be a good dude while you're in development. Step one, you're going to have to interact with a recruiter for the first time. Number one, be patient. And number two, please understand that you are making your reputation starting now. From the first email, from the first text message, from the first interactions, this is the first part of your job interview. So we can't stress that enough. I have gotten text messages from recruiter friends of mine, and they will show me screen caps. They'll be like, what does this even mean? And I'll read the text and I'll have to decipher it for them. Like, so you don't have to be, and again, you know, going back to playing a role, like you can speak in your own plain language and you can text like you would normally talk. You don't have to go, like I've seen people go all the way over, like I'll get some DMs that are like formatted like a memorandum for record, like memorandum for record, Aaron Love, subject, wish to enter the pipeline from an ROTC student, subject. Like, you know, like it doesn't need to be that either. But you were starting your reputation from the second that you engage with that recruiter. So keep that in mind, because these people are good. Like, man, if you think people don't reach back, if you think that your name doesn't get thrown around when you're not there, like good, bad, or indifferent, you're wrong. Like, let me just tell you right now, you're incorrect.
It's not a gossip kind of thing.
Nope.
It's like it.
Okay. Listen, all right, we love the gossip some, more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, you get a bunch of dudes in the team room.
Oh geez, little hens clucking in the hen house.
But there is a, like, if I'm getting somebody coming in a unit and they are not a brand new person, they are, you know, somebody who's been established. If I don't know their reputation already, I probably will find out and go, hey, what am I dealing with here? But at the same time, with that said, everybody that would come in when I was at the 2-2, everybody that comes in a clean slate.
Yep.
Like, immediate trust right off the bat, immediate, like, hey, you're a professional, you're whatever, regardless of the AFSC that you are, the Air Force Specialty Code that you are, you start on a clean slate and 100% trust. Then from there it goes. But
dude, I wouldn't trust any of those gray hats. I don't know what you're doing.
You said it, not me.
What about that JT? What about Jared's meme with the Adult Swim cartoon? Oh, I laughed so hard at that.
That was so good.
Yeah. And I want to
know. What kind of monster are you?
I want to tell you guys too, like, and this is just real talk, because of who we are and because of the touch and reach that we have with the community, we know some of your names already. Recruiters have reached out to us.
Sucks to be you.
Sucks to be you. We know some of your names already. Like, good, bad, indifferent. Like, we see you on the Discord. We know that you're getting ready to go. I was just talking this last week with somebody that's getting ready to go to ANS 100%. I made, you know, a couple of connections on their behalf. If you think for what, like, I get, here's a great example. I gave somebody from the Pacific Northwest their last IFT. So I ran their last IFT before they got in. One of the MAGCOM functional managers called me to say, hey, is this person ready to go? I was like, listen, they did great in their PT test. I visualized them doing it. They were great to standard. And then he called to be like, hey, Aaron, WTF. They bounced out like 2 weeks into assessment selection. Like, they just left. And I was like, okay.
But well, I heard about this.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. And I get, I got tuned up for that. And I was just like, I can only tell you about that IFT. I only saw him run a PT test, but yeah, my bad. But that's the level of communication that we have.
Dude. Did like in the office, like who signed this? They're like, Aaron Love signed off on his PT test. And we're like,
man,
what happened here?
I didn't, like, he just ran a PT test, guys. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I never saw
your name's on it, you know?
Like, I know, so like, but that's it.
You're the person that we're going to come after.
But exactly. That's a good lesson for the folks out here. The new, like, when you put your name on something, you are essentially vetting that person. So when you have, and this has not happened very often, but probably each of us have probably received five, you know, asks or requests. I know I probably have, for letters of recommendation, whether, mm-hmm. you know, for cross trainees, I'm like, I don't know you. I'm sorry. Like I wish you all the best. I want you on the team. I want you to be there, but you can't expect me to write a letter of recommendation unless I actually know you. And even then I'm also, man, we're going to have to, like, I got to know you really, really well.
Really well.
To give you a letter of recommendation. Cause I'm signing off on that. Now, a little different when you're signing off on a PT test. Like, yeah, I witnessed this person do these things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a letter of recommendation kind of thing.
Right.
Well, and if you're joining the pipeline, it's like an entry level position. You know, like if you need a letter of recommendation from you know, Chief Petrus, like you need to be undeniable in your own right. Your job is to perform on a very personal level when you get there. If your PT scores are high enough and all these other things, like you don't need to reach out to the most important person that you've ever talked to on Instagram and ask for a letter of recommendation.
Right.
Like,
who is this dude you're talking about?
Cause it's like you.
You want to go into the tech space and you're like, hey, Elon Musk, write me a recommendation letter so I can go work at Microsoft.
But you liked what are you talking about? My post one time, like, obviously.
Hey, and that's battle rhythm aside. Hey, no big deal. I assume you're just sitting around staring at your phone, waiting on people to text you from your side gig. But can you just write this letter real quick?
I saw that you take naps in your office, so you got time.
So I have taken a nap in my office.
Well, yeah, because you work 20-hour days, and it didn't make sense for you to go home. But like, no, everybody's taking a cave nap.
Yeah, I'm talking about, I've taken a nap here at the web school. So I hadn't flown an F-16 in a long time. And then we did high aspect BFM.
And that's different.
So, bro,
I
came back and I was wrecked. And I even set out like a little space under my desk. And I'm like, I just got to lay down. I just got to lay down for
the motion light. You know, it's bad when the motion light goes off and you're like, this is it. Oh,
and I was like, I need this so bad. So bad.
Dude, a million years ago, it feels like, but going through the PhysTech 7 level program, you have to go through the centrifuge because that's another thing that we run. Well, that was like a month before I went to Indoc. Like, I still, you still have to proceed as if you're going to have the same job because you're most likely going to fail. So this is 2004, 2005. And I had to go through the centrifuge. So first of all, they were like, hey, is anybody doing any long distance running or any long distance work? And I was like, yeah, I'm running quite a bit. And they were like, we'd like you to go first. And I was like, oh, that's weird. That's okay. Yeah, I'll go first. He must think I'm going to do the best. Absolutely not. I did not make the 9G profile. I G locked hard out of that thing. And I do that to say, I did the same thing that you did. We had a lunch break. I went home. We were staying on base. It was Brooks City base back then, but I was at Brooks and I was like, I'm just going to like lay my head down in this hotel room. I woke up and I was already a half an hour late. I had like five missed calls on my phone and I got in there and like the flight doc's like, you okay, dude? And I was like, no, man, I feel like my brain's been scrambled. Like that is, like those fighter pilots that pull, you know, consistent 9G profiles, and that's just like Tuesday for them. Respect. Yeah.
And it affects them. Like, to be fair, it affects them too. If they haven't flown in a long time, like they feel it too. But
well, it affects the constant thing too. Have you ever talked to a fighter pilot? It affects them day to day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Their bodies are wrecked too. Hey-o. Boy, we got off on a tangent.
It's okay.
Oh, man.
It's okay. What we're talking about is being, you know, the best in the development program that you possibly can be, right? Like, be patient with your recruiter. Be professional with your recruiter. Remember, like, and again, this kind of goes back to, you know, just the difference. Like, you are not the center of the universe. You have to start putting your mind into this is a team. I am part of a team. Sometimes you're just a cog in a machine, to be honest with you. Sometimes you're just a person that's expected to show up, do the work, and go home. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is just not draw attention to yourself, good or bad. Just show up, crush what you need to crush, and then go on about your day, you'd be surprised how refreshing it is to see, you know, a candidate do that. I think about young troops that, you know, never have a problem with them. They just kind of, the best young three levels that I know, sometimes you don't know their name for the first 6 months. You know, they're just solid at all their skills. You really don't have any input for them. They show up on time. They're never late, never light, always have a pen and a piece of paper ready to you know, take some notes and the right gear. And you're like, oh, okay, you're awesome.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, before I left T2, some of the guys that we got out of the PJU, combat control school, well, I guess the new guys just
SCTS. So yeah.
So I keep it all. I don't think we had a bad dude show up. Like I was so impressed. And some of the, I remember there was one PJ that was, did some kind of, you know, high angle rescue, FMP, and Colonel Deutman was like, hey, is like, what is he, a staff tech? Like, I was like, no, he's brand new out of the pipeline. And he was just that professional, communicated that well, and operated that well. And I was like, man, this, I just love seeing that. It's fantastic.
Well, it makes us old guys feel okay, right? Like, hey, we might be okay after all. You see those glimmers of hope, and you're like, oh, maybe things aren't as bad as the memes would indicate.
See, all the old guys when I was young retired because they're like, there's no hope. This person is gone. I'm getting that while we gotta I can. Deal with, huh?
Yeah. Oh, man. Trent put more people into retirement than the stock market crash of 2008. I love it. So be that ray of hope in your development program, right? And I will put a shout out for T3I. The number one thing that they want you to do, show up to the development sessions, yeah. Be ready to train for that. They can tell when you have not been doing the physical fitness program that you should have been. They should know that you 100% haven't been doing your studying. They can tell when you show up and you're, you know, maybe you had too much alcohol the night before with your bros. Like they can tell every single time you're not putting out, right? That's a waste of time, both your time and their time. So yeah. Show up to those development sessions and be ready to go.
And the thing I'll add though, as a disclaimer, as we kind of wrap up this portion, is just when you had mentioned, hey, your reputation precedes you, people ask and know about you, and we're tracking you essentially from injury level. It doesn't mean that you can't course correct, right? If you happen to have a bad rotation or a bad training event, or, you know, even just, hey, I didn't have a good assignment, it doesn't mean that you're screwed, or you just had a bad time in the pipeline. It doesn't mean that you're screwed for the rest of your career or the rest of your enlistment. You can course correct from that. Everybody has bad stints of time. Everybody. So you like we've said it before, fail fast, learn from it, and move on.
Well, and two things about development before we move on is be honest with yourself about where your abilities are and all that other stuff, and then be patient. Like hitting the mark one time is a lot different than hitting the mark consistently, and that's going to affect your confidence level going into the pipeline, which is huge.
Yeah. We're going to hit some do's and don'ts because now we're getting to the real meat and potatoes, right? Like you show up down at Joint Base San Antonio, beautiful San Antonio, Texas, down at Lackland Air Force Base is what it used to be called. But as you're down there at JBSA, you're going to go to BMT. Listen, again, because everybody wants to know everything about everything, the word has gotten out that BMT, Air Force BMT, is not the most physically demanding thing. Shocker. It's been like that since forever, right? It's not the Marines' 13-week crucible. It's not the Army's course. It's the Marines' 16 weeks. It's not the Army's 13-week course, right? Okay, we get it. Do not go into that course and think, oh, this is dumb. I'm just here to kill time until I can go on. Like, that's your time to make. You're going to be in your own flight of Aspect War Airmen. You're going to have the chance to start making those connections. And oh, by the way, you're going to have a chance to really start on your journey, right? So Ivan Ruiz said it perfectly, like when he was talking about transitioning out, but it plays here. He said, you don't have a job and on the back end of the military until you get your first paycheck from that job. Okay, well, there's no way that you can be a PJ or be a combat controller or be a TACP airman or be a special reconnaissance man. There's no way that you could do that until you hit day one of BMT. So don't go into that thing with anything other than a real desire to learn about the Air Force. Your checks are not signed by Air Force Special Tactics. Your checks are not signed by ACC rescue unit. Your checks are signed by the United States Air Force and the Department of Defense, and you're expected to be a good airman. So don't think you're going to go in there and just be like, oh, dog. I mean, I'm going to be working with the Army anyway because I'm going to be a TACP airman. So there's no reason to learn about this dumb Air Force stuff. That's not the right attitude to have. And by the way, the MTIs do not care. The MTIs know what the attrition rate is. And if you think that they're just going to let you be like, oh, yeah, no, you guys do whatever you want. You guys are a little bit different. No, that's not how it's going to go, dog.
I mean, 9 out of every 10 people are just going to end up in the Air Force anyway with the MTIs.
I was just going to say that was a great conversation. It was either a conversation or text like with on the Discord channel with the guys that were about the ship. It's like, hey, just so you know, all these great human beings that you're talking to, you know, that you guys have been building each other up and that you've been, you know, helping mentor each other and holding each other accountable. Most of you will not make it. Mm-hmm. And it was like they which is good that they had never considered it, because they're like, no, right. I'm making it. Like, sure. There's no doubt in my mind. That's great. But to set expectations and not to be an asshole about it, but in reality, most of you are not going to make it. In a moment of weakness or whatever it is, you're going to ring the bell. And it doesn't make you lesser. It doesn't make you anything like that. It's just expectation management. Most of you aren't going to make it.
Well, I would say going into BMT specifically, if you're trying to increase your chances, I know we say it's not difficult all the time, like it's BMT, right? But I think we should change our tune a little bit and just start saying it's going to be hard. You know, because like, what if everybody says it's not difficult and you show up and for some one reason or another, something about BMT just really stresses you out and makes it really hard. But if you go in there with the mindset that it's going to be difficult, and if you're kind of coasting a little bit and you seek out additional things to learn or additional responsibilities and make it difficult on yourself and keep in that grind state, I think it will lead to more success once you leave there. If you go there and all you do is try to coast through and disappear and have a bad attitude about it, like your attitude is momentum, and changing that momentum once you get over to SWCC and ANS is a lot more difficult than you might think it is.
Yeah. And I say it all the time. Excellence is a habit. So I expect you to go there. Trent has never said that. I've always said it. So, but I love that optic, Trent. Like, if you show up to BMT, like, okay, we're saying it's not going to be hard. It's going to be frustrating or whatever it is that, you know, we had been saying. How about you show up and you take a leadership position? How about you're a dorm chief? How about you take on a squad chief position, whatever they're calling element leader? Yeah, element leader position. Dorm chief, you take on one of those leadership positions, you shoot expert when you go there. How about you go and you try to get the honor grad? How about you try to get honor flight? Like, how about that? I would feel way better as opposed to just going somewhere and just being like, well, I'm just counting the minutes and doing the bare minimum until I got to go do the hardest thing I've ever tried to do in my life. Momentum is a great way to put it. How about I show up over to the Chapman training annex with an extra ribbon on? How about I show up with some extra leadership experience behind me with a whole group of people that we're ready to go actually crush this next thing? So don't sleep on BMT for whatever it is and whatever it isn't. It's an opportunity to excel, and you're supposed to go and crush that thing.
But I will say, if you do end up volunteering for one of those positions, it better not be because you want to have power over somebody, or you want to act like an asshole to somebody. You are not better than anybody else in there. I just got to caveat that because I have seen
that power.
Yeah,
Trent's like, no,
consolidate power, organize a resistance. They will fail without you. You better take control.
The Airmen's Resistance Movement.
I love it. Strong. We got to come up with one for strong, strong arm. So some other don'ts of BMT, like, man, do stay focused. You're going to have a little bit of time. You're going to be able to like walk over to the BX. You're going to start interacting with people. Don't be a douche. Whoever you're talking to, you haven't even hit step one yet. Like, we have all had a million conversations. Like, regular active duty folks are over there, and every once in a while, somebody will engage you and be like, oh, hey, what's up there, slick sleeve? How are you doing? You're like, I'm here to drop bombs on people and kill people and be awesome. Like, okay, are you turbo? You're 3 weeks into it. It's the first time you were allowed to march over to the Smoothie King and get yourself something that wasn't like a piece of bread. Like, you're not really that cool.
I don't think there's a Smoothie King on Lackland.
Otherwise, neither are we, right? Yeah. And by the way, whoever's engaging you to talk to BMT students probably isn't that cool either, but that's more of a judgment on my end.
No, I actually had a conversation with one of those BMTers the other day. I was over
my comment stands.
Reed Medical Clinic. Yeah. And like, what, I don't know what else to do. I'm sitting there, I'm surrounded by people that don't have any rank on their uniforms.
Right.
And I want to know what's going on. And then, you know, it devolved into a conversation where a kid was asking me what the best, you know, duty stations are in the Air Force. And so like the doc finally came out and called my name, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Got to go. Bye. Like,
okay. Bye. Okay. Bye. Yeah. So again, you're in a job interview, and just caveat emptor, right? Buyer beware. You are going into this thing and you know specifically about this thing. I'll bet the person that's asking you for this information, I bet they know somebody. I bet they know somebody that's probably one of your supervisors, or maybe an MTI, or maybe an actual operator in the career field. And they're like, oh, you are going to be a PJ. That's interesting. Tell me more about everything that you're going to do. And yeah.
Can we talk about the people that aren't actually part of the career fields that either have worked with us or know guys in our community that are like maybe more crazy about protecting our community than we are?
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
They're so happy to dime you out.
Oh yeah.
Well,
and I will tell you a fun pipeline story. So there we are. We're in the pipeline, and this is kind of like, you never know who you're talking to, so you need to be on your game. So there we are, maybe having a couple drinks at the bar. We're all over 21. We're all in phase. Like, nothing illegal was going on. But get a couple of bowls of those loudmouth soups in you, and you start kind of talking reckless. So there may have been a student that was kind of talking about being a PJ and everything that he was going to do. And maybe he didn't make it clear that he was actually a student. And then maybe the bartender that was serving him was the wife of the commandant of the schoolhouse. And maybe that was one of the most ridiculous smoke sessions that ever happened. I'm just saying, allegedly. It wasn't. And for the first time ever, this was not actually me and my team. So I just want to put that out there. Almost every pipeline story that I tell that I don't say who it was or put you in a time frame, it was us, because worst team of all time. But yeah, maybe just watch when you're talking about stuff, and make sure you represent yourself well, and make sure you represent your team well. And again, you never know who knows who.
That's real.
That's real.
Every flight between Florida and Texas, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Oh, every single one.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I
hope the one thing that I hope they're talking about, though, is where to get equipment. If I was going to go to a one-stop shop, and that would probably be atacalete.com, atacalete.com. And I definitely use a promo code to get a discount, because who doesn't like a discount? So promo code one's ready. You get your high volume mask, snorkel, fins, the rope, the actual rope, same rope that you're going to use in the pipeline in terms of underwater knot tying. They have Alice frames there, which are hard to come by these days, but they got them.
They really are.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether it's Aspect War, Ranger School, Buds, Q Course. Like, they have they have bundles for each one of those, or you can buy them individually. You don't have to buy them as a bundle, but these are the high volume masks, so that when you're training to clear a mask, like, you know how much air it's actually going to take versus the low profile mass or the low volume mass, and mm-hmm. doesn't take much at all. So
yeah, those are easy. They're super easy. The other thing that that they have that I wasn't even really tracking, but they even have replacement gear. So they've got, did you break a mask strap? That happens all the time, by the way, especially if you're doing buddy breathing, or especially if you're, you know, running around, you know, like those things break. So mask straps, fin straps, everything that you need, like even the watches, man, those watches are dope. Like, I'm not a watch guy, but the watch that they have, I keep looking at that thing and I'm like, the tactical smartwatch does look kind of tight. So yeah, go check them out on attackleap.com. Use our code one's ready to check out.
Were the carabiners on the site? Is that what's happening?
You're saying carabiners weird. Why did you say it like that? I'm relatively sure it's like, I've known as like a mountaineering expert in the community, and I believe it's carabiners.
Yeah.
Speaking of the mountains, you know what you could use to protect yourself in the mountains? A good 10 millimeter gun. I would tell you it's a 10 millimeter gun for a bear, but then you're going to need somewhere to conceal that weapon, because bears can PID weapons, and you don't want to let them do that. Go to EverlyStock.com. You can find any number of tactical pieces of gear and technical gear. If you're looking for a concealed carry, the Bando bag is straight tight. The code over there is OR10, is it not?
Yep, OR10.
Oh,
gotta ask the manager. He always knows.
First time. Yeah, 100%. So go to Everly Stock, check it out. They've got every single piece of gear that you could need, whether it's mountaineering, whether it's training for the pipeline, whether you need a new pack. They've got a whole line of technical gear that they've done a complete refresh on. That stuff is awesome. And not only is it a great company, but it's just chock full of good people. Absolutely fantastic group of folks over there that run Everly Stock out of Boise, which I've been told is the proper way to pronounce it. If you say Boise, people shame you for it, and it makes me sad. So go check out everlystock.com. Use our code OR10 at checkout and get yourself some great training and technical gear.
Yeah.
We're talking about hydration because it's in the chat, but we already did too. So now I'm confused.
Yeah. Well, hey, check out Hoist. Why not? Drink right. Hoist.
While we're at it.
Yeah. While we're at it, you're going to need some hydration to carry all that concealed weaponry that you bring, or a heavy artillery, if you will, now depending on who you ask.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Man. Heavy artillery. But
it's known to cut a man in half.
Get you ready to drink, get your packets, great tasting. The packets are where it's at for me. I used to do the ready to drink. Now I've moved to the packets just because I can take, 10 of them with me on the road because I'm traveling a lot versus, one or two of the ready to drink. So, that is drinkhoist.com. Promo code One's Ready. Get yourself a discount. Looks like Trent has something to add to it.
I'm just saying, you got to be hydrated for when you take control of your BMT flight and you're screaming at all those idiots that don't know what they're doing and you're consolidating your power. You got to be hydrated. Keep that
I'll in mind. I'll call you Trent Segway Miller because it's just so good every single time. Between the ambushes, the ambush ad reads and the segways, Trent, you're really crushing it. I got to be honest with you.
There's nothing worse than you being encouraging.
It always feels disingenuous, doesn't it? No matter what, like just because I am who I am, it always feels like I'm just being sarcastic. So I don't know. It was a true statement. Let's continue with do's and don'ts. Be a good dude. Just put out. Let's say you get selected. Unlikely, but let's say you do get selected, right? Sorry.
Statistically
okay. Unlikely.
Listen, do another PMA episode after this.
Yeah, we really are.
None of you are going to make it. Be positive.
Be positive,
guys. Yeah.
So you're in the pipeline now, right? You get out of ANS, you get selected, you get through that pre-dive, and you're starting to hit this pipeline. Number one, be focused, okay? You're there for a job every single day. TDY means temporary duty. It means you're somewhere else, but you're still on the job, right? So this is going to be your first taste of going TDY and going to different spots in America and meeting new groups of people. So you're going to meet new teammates. You're going to meet new friends. You're going to interact with different folks. You know, those bases, it's not just like you're the only show in town, right? So you're going to have to interact with new folks and different people. These bases that you're going to, I'm going to give you a word of caution. When you go to Panama City and you go to NDSTC, you are not the first PJ student they've ever met. And by the way, they've probably met a PJ student or a pipeline student that they didn't like, and they don't have a great taste in their mouth. So there may be a little bit of toxicity coming your way. The best thing that you can do is remember you're representing yourself, you're representing your specific career field, and you're really representing AFSPECWAR as a whole. So just keep that in mind. You know, a little bit of humility goes a long way. Maybe you don't need to talk about work all the time. You don't need to lie to people. Oh, we're the Air Force lumberjack team. Yuck. Quit it.
Hilarious.
Oh, I'm a spaceship door gunner. I don't want to talk about work. Like doing that just leads to more follow-on questions. If you just go, I'm in a pipeline. I'm in a tech school. It's for AFSPECWAR. And then just go on with life. It's probably the cleanest way to do it.
Okay. Also have fun. You know what I mean? Like at a certain point in the pipeline, you need to have a good time.
Yes.
And it is going to be a good time. And so like, if you're that person that like wants to have a good time and then you're just like being inauthentic and be like, no, I'm going to stay super focused the whole time and burn myself out so that by the time I get to my apprentice course, everybody hates me. And also I don't have the energy to keep going. Like relax a little bit, let it all in, but just don't make any of those huge mistakes. Don't drink and drive and stay away from white powders.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada.
For sure.
Stay away from that booger sugar.
Columbia marching powder? No, thank you. That's what you're going to say. You're going to say up with hope, down with dope.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that will get you kicked out. And it's a huge waste of your time in the pipeline if you if you make one of those bad choices, and this can be disciplinary, this can be not prioritizing what you're supposed to be doing, like studying, like there's a huge academic requirement here. You really are going to have to devote a lot of your time to studying and making sure that you're happening. And oh, by the way, life doesn't stop. You're going to have these life stressors of family and interpersonal, you know, conflict and all these other things that you're going to have to deal with. So it really is a stressful time, but it's also a fun time. Like Trent mentioned, you know, the way of storytelling goes like this. You know, when you're in the pipeline, every story is about assessment selection. When you're out of the pipeline and you're your first duty station, every story is about all the fun stories in the pipeline. And then you hit your first deployment. And then for like the next 5 years, every story is about deployment and whatever else. And then after that, it goes back to pipeline stories. And you're just telling stories about, you know, your friends and, you know, those times where, you know, I distinctly remember, you know, being in Florida during our water ops phase. And we, no kidding, had to rent a rider truck, because it was cheaper than trying to get our own vehicle. So we would rent a rider truck. We would get jocked up. We'd get JMPI'd. And then driving over to the airfield, we would pile in the back of, no kidding, this moving van. And I remember just sweating your absolute face off in a static line shoot, laughing like idiots with 15 of my closest friends in the back of a rider truck in Florida, because that's just ridiculous. You know, like that's the silliest awesome thing. It
some
is.
Of,
yeah.
Some of the best stories or the funniest stories or even just best kind of like feel good moments are stupid things like that. That's just, it's silly, right? But there's something real, that connectiveness that you feel with those dudes. And I've, you know, we've talked about it before, and you're, you know, on the back of a plane or you're in a helicopter and you're about to jump out in the pitch black or you're about to go hit a target or something like that. Like you just kind of look around and like, man, this is pretty cool. You know, I don't know. I don't know what that has to do with pipeline pitfalls and do's and don'ts of the pipeline, but it's a comment that I had to share.
Well, it's stuff that never gets old about the job. It really is the best portion. And we've been talking about, you know, how to be a good dude, how to be a good candidate, how to be, you know, be a good dude and just put out. But those are the things that keep you going in those moments. I don't know why, but I distinctly remember his name's Nick. I won't say his last name, but Nick is a very stoic mountain of a man. Complete and total badass, like really one of the hitters in the career field, right? Like the guy really is just all that is male, and he's an awesome operator. We were on a jump in England. You know, we didn't know if it was going to happen. It was one of those nights where we were jumping and it was into the pitch black, and it was into the water, and you're like, okay, well, here we go. So the door opens and you can see right away that it's clear. Like you could see, like it was crappy all day, but that ramp open and you could look out and you could see the water. And I just distinctly remember Nick turning around with this big smile on his face, and he goes, "Oh, we're going." he was like, "Oh, we're going." And I was just super excited because he was just genuinely excited, like a little kid. And it immediately took me into like, this is fun. The pipeline is fun. And we talk hyperbolically about, you're going to have to give your life for this job, and there's a ton of pitfalls. And listen, yeah, it comes with a cost, but man, it's fun. those sort of things that you never forget, they never get old. Like being with the bros and doing bro stuff, like that stuff does not get old.
Well, if the cost exceeded, you know, the payment, none of us would do it. So like it's difficult to explain like the sacrifices and all the other stuff that everybody tends to focus on, and especially kids these days and our culture and victimhood and
right.
No, we're done with that. We're being positive.
No, but still continue.
The payoff on the other side of the you know, the brotherhood, the friends, the experiences that you can't buy those experiences. And you know, like I have a buddy coming over to the house, you know, tonight. He's in town, and like one of the funniest moments of my life was with this dude, but I can't explain it to anybody else. Like it just
they wouldn't understand. You can tell them
paint that
they'd
context.
They'd be like how is that even funny?
Yeah, it was the funniest moment of my life. And I think I laid in bed that night for like the 6 hours that we were actually gonna be able to sleep, and I laughed like for four of those hours. Like I couldn't stop giggling, and he was like, "Dude, shut the up!" I'm like, that was I couldn't stop.
Aaron, do you think there are aliens? Go to sleep, Trent.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
there's no robots that live among us.
But I mean,
there are Skynet.
Aliens aren't that smart. They're just dolphins. All right.
Yeah, they just figured out interstellar travel.
Well, no, because I don't think that episode ever. No.
Interstellar travel is not difficult if you come from an environment where you can manipulate gravity based on the resources that are easily accessible. So like we think that they're smarter than us. They're not. They're scared of us because we figured out nukes and they don't even know what that is. And once we steal their technology and they know that we have it, we're going to go across the universe and we're going to wipe them out because they know that's who we are.
I want that to be the only reel that we drop from this episode. That was like, if there's only one clip that we get out of all the goodness that we just had, I want that to be it, is Trent's rant on aliens.
Sorry. Gosh. Either that or we are the Colosseum of the universe and they like just pick fights, have us pick fights with each other, and they're just up there making bets.
Well, they're winning. So
I was going to say, yeah, boy, they're doing a great job. If the Abenaki really are using the moon to harness our negative energy by collective strife, these guys are crushing it. I don't know, guys. That feels like a good place to end. You guys got any parting shots? Here's a fun thing, too. The parting shot, that term is from, there was a group of horse riders called the Parthians, and they were so good that even in retreat, they could turn 180 degrees around their horse, and they could fire their bow at you. So they were horseback fighters. So that's where the parting shot came from. It used to be the Parthian shot, as in the last thing that you do is you're leaving an area, but no big deal. That's a true statement.
Just shut it down. I'm done here.
Yeah.
Tired of learning. Stupid education.
Tired of. Trent, you got anything else you want to finish on, dude?
No. Be yourself. Have a good time. Focus. Whatever. Be honest. Be honest and patient. Like, that's always my biggest advice to folks out there. Be honest and patient. And in the beginning, it's all about you. So you got to be honest and patient with yourself.
Yeah. Peaches, yeah. What you got?
Be authentic. Remember that you're representing your community. You're representing your family. You're representing yourself. So don't jack like a jackass if you can help it. There are times that you will, and I have those moments, but just remember that you're representing us. And then always keep a PMA, positive mental attitude. That is huge. That will carry you a long way. That doesn't mean that, you know, false motivation. There is a saying that is false motivation is better than no motivation. At the same time, though, if you're looking at me right next to me and we're doing hours upon hours of flutter kicks, and you're like, hoo-yah, peaches, hoo-yah, peaches. Like, I don't need that. Okay?
I don't need that. Keep it to yourself, homie. Suffer in silence.
Yeah, because now I'm just pissed off. Now, the good thing is now I'm pissed at you, so now I'm focusing on you. But,
spitting at you while
you're... Hoo-yah, peaches, hoo-yah. Can't smoke me. Yeah, I don't need that.
Yes, I can. Yes, yeah. I can smoke.
Yeah. And it's always the guy that's not actually doing all the flutter kicks either,
yeah.
Right?
No. But, yeah, exactly. Man. Just kind of bit.
Golly. Thanks to everybody for listening along with this one. We really do appreciate you. Just go smash that subscribe button. Turn your notifications on. Make sure you're subscribed to where we are. It does help. We appreciate it. Remember, put out, be a good dude. It's not that hard. We'll see you next time.
Later.